All right, let's say good morning to Jason Cairns from his home in Eau Claire. Good morning, friend.
Good morning.
Well, the election now just 6 days away, and the fact of the matter is that somebody's going to win, and somebody's going to lose, and we've got the presidency and all the other contests. But I think as Christians, hopefully for everybody, I mean, it's like, what about the aftermath? Whether you find out Tuesday night, Wednesday, or December, or who knows when, and who knows, because we've had to wait to December back in 2000. The fact of the matter is that I want to focus on starting today and going all the way through the election day and beyond. You and I each drop a verse or two and then kind of chew on it together that encourages us, hey, this is something to keep in mind in terms of to think about and in terms of our behavior. How about that?
I think that's a great idea. I think if we can get ourselves back to Scripture and maybe off of the a lot of the crazy thoughts that we seem to be entertaining, I think so often media will drag us in directions maybe we don't want to go, and it's good to be grounded in God's Word.
Absolutely. So we see, let me just give one major city as an example. A couple of nights ago, 30 Philly cops hurt in protest after police shoot knife-wielding man. They had a second night of some trouble there. So, I mean, that's just maybe an example of things we want to steer clear of in a massive way. But again, Bring it back to our own circle, our own home. Like, what can we do? So here was the verse on my mind. Be interesting if, and I have no idea what you're going to share, but for me, it's the advice I give to every married couple, and particularly for the groom. It's James 1:19, and your daughter just got married, so I would give this advice to John. I think I did, in fact, and it's my dear brothers and sisters, New Living says, be quick to listen, ears first, you got two of them, slow to speak, you got one tongue, not quick to speak, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Verse 20 even says your anger can never make things right in God's sight. I think that is a helpful admonition leading up to and beyond the election. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think the notion of it seems like we're approaching this with five tongues and no ears, or, you know, we're shutting our ears out to the world. And I think listening is so key. Francis Schaeffer, who was a very influential voice many years ago, had said that if he had 50 or had an hour with someone, he would spend the first 55 minutes listening. And as Christians, I think that's one of the most important testimonies we can have, is to listen well.
That's great. All right, what is your return? What's your verse today?
Yeah, so for me, it was Titus 3:2. And Titus 3:2 says, speak evil of no one, avoid quarreling, be gentle, and show perfect courtesy to all people. I think so often what we're seeing, and this ties in with the notion of the tongue or of speaking, is that there's just so much name calling and so much infighting and backbiting and mean spiritedness that I'm seeing. And so that was the first thing that came to mind for me.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. I that verse not as familiar. In fact, we had somebody here who wanted to comment sort of along. Somebody kind of agreed with you.
There's been lots of praying and shouting and some ugly name calling.
Yeah. So, again, you know, I want to mix that up. Maybe the praying probably minimized the name calling, though. So, okay.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because that verse in Titus there, Titus 3:1 talks about being submissive to rulers and authorities. And being ready for every good work. But, you know, as you come into that, again, what's the character we bring into public discourse? And again, I think really seeking to be courteous and gentle kind is really a good call.
Yeah, that I appreciate that. One was not on my mind. A lot of times I'll think about like Titus 2:11-14 or something, but not those early. I got to look at those. Titus 3:1-2. Thank you, Jason. We're going to keep it up.
You bet.
All the way through Election Day and beyond. It's just 6 days away, so I appreciate it. As if we don't need another thing here in COVID 2020, but Caleb, did you know the Earth is pulsating every 26 seconds?
Is that a good thing? Can we hope that's a good thing?
I mean, it sounds like,
maybe not.
Just with California and earthquakes? Every 26 seconds, the Earth shakes. Now, not...
This seems like a Star Trek thing.
Yeah, not a lot. Just enough that seismologists on multiple continents get a measurable little blip on their detectors. every 26 seconds. And even though this pulse has been observed for decades, researchers don't agree on what's causing it.
Every woman who's ever been in labor is just like, if they start getting shorter than 26 seconds, something's coming.
The pulse, or microcysm in geologist lingo, which I like to just kind of throw around, was first documented in the early 60s by a researcher named Jack Oliver. He figured out that the pulse was coming from somewhere in the southern or equatorial Atlantic Ocean, and that it was stronger in the northern hemisphere's summer months. Lots of research has been done since then, but still, no one's really confirmed the cause of the regular seismic activity. Though many assume it's caused by waves, some hold out that it's caused by volcanic activity. But wow, every half minute.
Man, 26 seconds the Earth is pulsating.
Yeah. Who knew?
That seems like some sci-fi stuff that I don't know how much further I want to dig into.
Yeah, right. Snoring. It's an age-old problem. And Caleb's comment leading in suggesting it's more of a guy thing, which I guess that's the perception, right?
I kind of think so.
Yeah. But I think both genders can snore. And what if a single pill could help your whole household sleep better?
Really?
If you're one of the many millions of Americans who snores or suffer from sharing a space with a partner who is a snorer, a new drug entering clinical trials in the U.S. could be a slumber saver. Yeah, I think we hear one. Somebody's snoring right now. Just kind of a gentle snore.
Like, how long do we want to keep this up? Maybe this is just for effect, and then we'll just...
A 2018 study found that a once-a-night tablet, which combines two non-sleep-related drugs, effectively reduces snoring frequency for 20 volunteers by 74%. I think a lot of partners would take that, right?
74%?
Yeah. From an average of 28.5 breathing interruptions per hour to 7.5.
How much denial do you think there is about snoring? Because I know my wife has informed me about my proclivity to snoring. It's like, no, I don't. I don't do that. And she's like, no, you do. Uh-huh. So I just wonder how many folks, and we'll just pick on the husbands a little bit, how many of them are like, no, I'm fine.
Yeah. And it's kind of one of those things where you can't know.
Ask your wifey.
2 years later, the remarkably simple therapy is being put to the test in a clinical trial. So it's working along. So a lot of focus on a vaccine for COVID, which is making rapid advancement. But what about the age-old problem of snoring?
Could be a solution. And hopefully we didn't put you to sleep with this story. Well, speaking of Govind's Farm, we have Farmer John from Govind's on the air with us here on the WIB Wake Up Show. Good morning, Farmer John.
Good morning to you.
Great to be with you. And again, we were just talking off the air. You mentioned second spring. Seems like some great weather for your final weekend here.
Absolutely. If we've had first winter, this weekend must be second spring. If it's going to warm back up, the sun's going to shine, it's going to be a great chance to get out with your family and do something.
Stands to reason.
And how's it been going with the corn maize and everything there?
It's been going pretty good. Last weekend was kind of a flop because everybody knows what the weather was like, but numbers have been good. You know, we've got a haunt on the other side of the farm that's been doing great things this year, too. So if you want to really be brave, you can come out and do a flashlight maze, and then you can go through a haunted trail.
And again, you have an 11-acre corn maze. The theme this year is Proud to Farm, which I absolutely love. Could you tell us, Farmer John, about some of the other things going on at Govind's, too? Because, I mean, you truly have something young and young at heart. You've got something for everybody going on.
Oh, absolutely we do. You know, the pumpkin cannon is always a big hit. Moms and dads and kids all love to shoot the pumpkin cannon. You can take a chance, and we've got targets to shoot at with an apple blaster. There's a wagon ride to and from the yard out to the corn maze. And if you haven't got your pumpkin yet, we've had some underneath tarps that I don't think are frozen solid, so you can still come out and get a pumpkin this weekend, too.
It just seems like heading into Friday night, but especially Saturday with them talking about 50 degrees. I mean, that's, I imagine you're all eyes focused on Saturday and inviting people. Make sure you don't miss it, right?
Oh, we are excited for Saturday because it's our final weekend and the weather's going to be beautiful. And it's just so great to see all the people come out and support us.
And Farmer John, I mean, I hear that apple blaster and pumpkin cannon. That kind of gets me up and going and saying, that sounds like a lot of fun. I know I see on your website, govindsfarm.com, you have a giant slide as well. I'm sure that's very popular with all ages.
We do have a giant slide. Occasionally it gets a little dewy or the weather's been damp, so it hasn't always been able to be open. But the other thing that we put in that I even overlook myself once in a while, we put in about 150-foot zip line.
Oh.
And... That'll even it'll carry mom and dad too. It's not just for the little ones. So come on out and try the zip line.
Fantastic.
You know, it's been quite a challenging year, and families could use something that kind of brings them together to have fun. This seems like the ticket, right?
Well, I really think so. It's outside. It's easy to social distance, lots of fresh air, and it's going to be a great weekend.
Farmer John from Govan's Farm. All the information at govansfarm.com. Final weekend, and hope it's just a great and busy one and folks come out and support a wonderful local operation like yourselves. Farmer John, thank you so much for joining us again, and wishing you all the best this weekend.
Well, thanks, and we're looking forward to seeing everybody.
All right, that's Farmer John from Govan's Farm, govansfarm.com. Please, friends, go out and support them. They are a great supporter here at the station as an advertiser and a wonderful local business not far to get to. Try out that 11-acre corn maze.
You're thinking about Saturdays, 10 to 10. Again, check that out. Saturday, going to be great weather for it. WWIB, coming up, we know November 3rd is Election Day, but it is also a tough anniversary. It's been two years on November 3rd, since a man in a drug-induced state was driving a pickup truck, and he plowed into some Girl Scouts who were on the side of the road on a Saturday. They were picking up trash. And as a result of this horrendous accident, three girls and one mother lost their lives. And out of that, that included 9-year-old Jaina Kelly, 10-year-old Autumn Helgeson, 10-year-old Haley Hickel, as well as Haley's mother, 32-year-old Sarah Jo Schneider. Well, I had a chance to speak yesterday with Brian Kelly. He's the father of Jaina. And we talked about the accident coming up on the two-year anniversary, as well as the foundation, the Jaina Kelly Foundation, and some great work they're doing. And it began by asking him how he's doing approaching the anniversary.
We're doing okay. We do find a lot of comfort in remembering Jaina, and we do a lot of different things with that. And, you know, we've set up this foundation, so that's one of the things I want to talk about the next week or so here, is all the things that Jaina's legacy is able to help with in the area and in the, just making lives better for children.
Now, how old was Jaina when her life was lost on that day, about 2 years ago?
Jaina was 9 at the time, and she was, you know, in the same grade, fourth grade, as Autumn Helgeson and Haley Hickel, also passed away. And then, of course, Haley's mother, Sarah, was killed in the crash, too.
So tell us a little bit about Jaina. What kind of girl was she?
Jaina was our little mischievous kid. Tara, her sister's 2 years older, and she's pretty much like me, kind of a rule follower. And Jaina was a little more fun-loving, you know, adventurous, getting into trouble more, probably more like my wife. But she's also really just caring, loved kids. Kids were kind of drawn to her, and you know, younger kids, she just connected with them all the time, and loved sports. Just a great kid, beautiful, a lot of fun to be around.
Well, you've been able to create, tell us about how you've been able to create the Jaina Kelly Memorial Foundation and what the foundation has done to this point.
We met an attorney from Eau Claire that had done something similar when his brother passed away. And he gave us a lot of the help we needed to get going on setting up the foundation. And then so we just started a board, and we created a 501c3 nonprofit with the IRS. And, you know, we've been able to get some donations and had some funds of our own that we put into the foundation. And it's really allowed us to do a lot this year with projects, and we're just really happy about it.
Now, it's really exciting what's going to unfold as people hear this starting on Wednesday. We're going to have the first of six different charitable donations that you'll be announcing Wednesday all the way through Monday. But what has the foundation done prior to this?
Well, not only the foundation, but the whole community, area contractors, the other families from the crash. We've done some really neat things. Right after the crash, Brad Helgeson and I, we wanted to do something for our daughters. They're big into softball, and we built this octagon-shaped pavilion out at Halley Ballpark, right kind of in the center. So it's been really well received. It's used all the time. Every time I go out there, there's people sitting in it, and it's exactly what we wanted. It's a beautiful pavilion, and once that was done last spring, we wanted to build some more. We wanted to build a learning classroom outside of each elementary school that the girls went to, and so we did that last fall. We built a neat pavilion at Southview for Haley, and we built a really cool one also at Homestead for Autumn and Jaina, and those are starting to be used more and more.
Fantastic. Coming up in just a moment, part two of our conversation with Brian Kelly with the latest on some generous donations from the Jaina Kelly Memorial Foundation to some wonderful nonprofits. Stick around. Second part of our conversation with Brian Kelly, recorded from yesterday, presented here on the WIB Wake Up Show. And we talked some more with Brian about the great work of the Jaina Kelly Memorial Foundation. And I asked him about kind of an overview of what the foundation's undertaking this year. And then he reveals who's the first recipient.
Well, the plan that we set up with our board was to do three larger donations of 25% of the funds we have, and then three smaller ones to split up the remaining 25%. So we kind of rounded it off, and today we're going to, Wednesday, we'll be announcing this $3,000 donation, and that will go to Ronald McDonald House in Rochester, Minnesota. A couple of our board members, my wife and Megan from the board, visited Rochester last week and delivered a check, and they were able to visit with the staff and kind of discuss how those funds could be used best, and I think it's going to be a great tribute to Jaina.
Ronald McDonald House, if people are not familiar, I mean, just a fantastic service that they provide. My mom serves at a Ronald McDonald House down in southeastern Wisconsin and right across from Children's Hospital, and so they do great work, and so that's a terrific investment that'll impact other families. So way to go.
Yeah, thanks. They've been hit really hard with COVID as far as being able to provide meals for their families. And so they have to cater in a lot more food. They can't have the groups coming in week and cooking. So that's what we use. And they call it the House Dinner Heroes Program. And we'll put a link on our Facebook page and our website, JainaKelly.com. Mm-hmm. People, if they want to learn more about that, can definitely help more with the house needs.
Absolutely. Well, we want to continue to unpack this with you, so we'll check in with you again live on Thursday to find out what is the charitable recipient and the dollar amount from the Jaina Kelly Memorial Foundation, and similarly on Friday, and then we'll cap it off on Monday here as well. So, Brian, we really appreciate it, and how can people pray for you and maybe the other families even as this anniversary approaches?
Well, first, we really appreciate you taking the time to let us discuss the foundation. And, you know, just prayers for healing and comfort and peace as we go through reliving what happened 2 years ago. It's tough. Last year, we had the honor walk, and we probably had 1,000 people show up out at Irvine Park. This year, we're not able to do something like that. Mm. So sometimes it kind of feels like it's getting forgotten, and hopefully people can remember it, especially with the election and all the other things that are happening. It's just, hopefully we don't forget about what happened 2 years ago.
We definitely won't. We're not going to let that happen here on 100,000 Watt WWIB with live streaming worldwide at WIB.com. Brian, if we were together, I couldn't hug you anyhow, probably, but here's a hug through radio, and please pass that on to your family and others as well, and we'll look forward to talking to you on Thursday morning, okay?
Awesome. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Brian. There we go. That's the latest $3,000 from the Jaina Kelly Memorial Foundation for the Ronald McDonald House of Rochester. Find out who's tomorrow's recipient, and we'll continue on here on the WIB Wake Up Show, WWIB.